This is an ABC podcast.
On ABC Sport,
your home of cricket.
The Gabba crowd applaud that with good reason. K.L. Rahul in the end picking up just a single in what looked like a certain boundary. India 2 for 22.
Ends the over, Australia 2 for 22.
They'll take a single, the Aussie pair. 2 for 22.
And it's a Richie number on the board. How good are you at a Richie?
2 for 22.
Yeah, no, the great man grew up listening to Richie.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio, and on the ABC Listen app.
What do I keep saying? 13 days' time. The Ashes series getting underway in Perth, and the build-up is well and truly underway. England have arrived. They're over in Perth getting ready. And this man has arrived too, the voice of English cricket, who you'll hear right across the summer, Mr. Jonathan Agnew, who is embarking on a very special sort of thing with our own Jim Maxwell. I'll let him tell you about that. And there's a fair bit to digest in this last fortnight before the action gets underway. Ayers, welcome back. Appreciate your time.
Oh, it looks lovely to be here. I'm looking at one of my most favourite views of my life, which is Sydney Harbour. It looks fantastic. It's wonderful to be back in Australia again. And yes, with a countdown. I mean, I can't believe it's all happened quite so quickly. There's massive excitement at home, I have to tell you. And not just based on our usual ill-founded optimism, but actually because people actually want to come because they couldn't come 4 years ago. It's just one of those great highlights of a sporting calendar at the Ashes. And so a lot of England support is coming.
Yeah, and this is actually a specific segment we do called 2 for 22 because it's close enough to 2:22 Eastern Daylight Time. So I've got some fairly generic questions to table for you about this series coming up and the Ashes more broadly. But firstly, tell me about what you and Jim are getting up to. And I say up to because you are taking flight with you at the controls. For those that don't know, you're a fantastic, keen pilot. Where are you going and why are you doing it?
Right. Okay. Well, a couple of years ago, I mentioned to a friend of mine, Don McNeil, who's in London. I said, what I've always wanted to do is to fly the Ashes. And between games or whatever, go on a little aeroplane and go and do it. And about a couple of months later, he messaged me, said, are you serious about this? And I said, yes. And he said, well, that's good, because I found a charity that actually you could really help. And that's called Angel Flight. And everyone knows about Flying Doctor. The government-backed, do a wonderful job, clearly, for the rural communities in Australia. A lot of people won't know about Angel Flight, that get no public backing. They get very little publicity. They are private pilots with their aeroplanes who do the same thing. They go out into the bush. They go out into the outback to give medical assistance. Not the pilots themselves, but people need bringing in for chemotherapy or whatever it may be. This is the service that is provided, and I'll bet a lot of Australians don't know about it. So that is who we are flying for. And a couple of weeks on Thursday is our first stop in Orange. Jim and I are going. I'm flying it. Jim's in the back. Out we go to these regional areas. Ever going to talk cricket? I mean, how often do you get the chance to talk to Jim Maxwell about Ashes cricket? So I hope the good folk of Orange all come, and we're holding it out at the airport. There's barbecue and a bit of a function going on. And just lots of fun. I mean, we are bringing... We're bringing the Ashes, really, to regional outback Australia. We're going from Orange to go up to the Brisbane Test, and we've got Moree after that, and they're coming down via Bourke. I've always wanted to go to Bourke.
Yeah.
And, of course, the back of Bourke people talk about here. Well, we're going to Louth, which looks like an extraordinary place from what I've seen. I mean, a population of barely double figures. Up to Parachilna in South Australia, which is the same sort of place. Wonderful hotel there called the Prairie. I've stayed there a couple of times. Again, exactly the same sorts of functions. They've got some country music up there as well. I know it's difficult for people to get to places like that because it's such a hell of a long way. But I'm sure people will, because this is a service that's for them. It's a service that for people who don't live in this lovely beautiful city that I'm looking at out of the window here. They need help. And this charity has been going since 2003. It's helped over 100,000 rural families in that time. So that's the fun. It's going to be a great adventure. I mean, I hope I don't get lost.
Yeah.
But what I do know about Australians, having been coming here so often, is there's something about the Aussie spirit. They do like people who come to this country, who really embrace it, who really get Australia. And I've been so lucky to come here so often and to go out into these rural communities anyway. I get it. I really understand it. So I just think that people listening to ABC, which we'll all be on, of course, soon, hearing about me and Jim going around in our Cessna around Australia, spreading the message of Angel Flight. I just think people will really get it, and I really hope people support it, because it's going to be fun, but it's an important thing that we're doing.
When I first heard about this, Jonathan Agnew, Jim Maxwell, Joy Flight, I thought maybe it was a tribute to David Gower and John Morris from many years ago. Of course, a fabled Ashes memory of some 35 years ago. But yes, if you search Angel Flight Ashes online, you can see more about this and support this initiative by you guys, which is fantastic. You might be pleasantly surprised to learn, Agnew, there's a nice wine region in Orange as well. But I guess as the pilot, you can't really partake too heavily in that.
No, this is the one drawback of doing it. I'm going to be very careful. But I'm looking forward to Orange. A good friend of mine, Mel Farrell, who does a lot of cricket. Well, she lives in Orange. She's always talking about Orange. I've never been there. And so it's just one of those, it's a mixture, this. It's a mixture of exploring a bit more of this amazing country, but doing so good while we're doing it.
Search Angel Flight Ashes online to find out more about that. Are you looking forward to getting across to Perth? Because, of course, that didn't happen in the last series. We had to go to Hobart for the fifth test, and Hobart's always magnificent. But first time back to Perth for this England side, who have not won a test anywhere, of course, in Australia in 14 years, Aggers.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, in some ways, I'm an old traditionalist and I love the Wacker. So I'll walk a little sadly past the Wacker on the way out to the new ground there, which I've seen in one day. I've seen a T20 there. Mm-hmm. It's a big stadium, isn't it? And I suspect it will be full. It's unknown, though. And so a bit of a shred of positivity that we take, by that I'm talking about English, is that we're not actually starting at the Gabba, where things always go wrong on the first ball. So we're actually not going there until the second game. So what does worry me, though, I'll be honest, you say that the team is there, they are. I'm just not sure what they're doing. This has to be the least preparation that any England team has done before an Ashes. And that does worry me. They've been playing some one-day cricket in New Zealand. It's been raining and all sorts of stuff there. A lot of the players were there and they're coming and they're here now in Perth. Their only preparation in terms of a match, and it won't be a pucker match because there'll be some swapping and changing if a batsman fails, is against the England Lions, which is the England second 11. And I don't get it. I mean, I know things are different these days. When England did last win the Ashes here, 10-11, they played West Australia, South Australia, they played Australia A, who they beat, came up to Brisbane ready to go, and, okay, they didn't win that game, but they didn't lose it either. Yeah. And it set them up. I'm worried, and I know that I'm not alone in wondering about this preparation. Is it enough? You know, I think you need a bit of Australian banter in your ears. I think you need a bit of that hostility and the aggression that comes with an Ashes series. Australian batsmen bat differently to English batsmen, back foot players, cutters, pullers. It's different to how the players they are going to be bowling at in this 3-day warm-up game are going to be. Now, Ben Stokes, Brendan McCullum, the coach and captain, they do things differently. But I think they're taking a real chance with this. You know, they might be doing team bonding, whatever they're doing over there, I don't know. But I would much rather, and I did suggest it to the ICC some years ago, and this would be beneficial for both teams concerned. I think a test series, be it 5 tests, 3 tests, 2 tests, whatever, should always have a match against the A team of that host country first. That benefits the touring team, it benefits the host team too, to have your best reserve players playing against touring. I just think that makes sense. But anyway, it hasn't happened, and England are taking their chances. And I think it's a risk.
Yeah, long live the tour game, the genuine tour game, which it just appears has gone the way of the T-Rex in recent years, I guess.
Well, it does, and it's a real shame.
Yeah. I've got a few questions to squeeze into a 5-minute span. So this is our 2 for 22 segment, of course. Richie Benner was a good friend of yours, and this is a little thing we're doing to sort of just get a few different answers across these same questions. When you think of the Ashes, Aggers, what's the first memory or moment that comes to mind?
Bob Massey, Ian Chappell, Dennis Lilly, all of that lot playing at Lords in 72, was it? When Bob Massey got 16 wickets, the biggest thrill for me, I know you haven't got a lot of time, the biggest thrill for me, that I was 12. I watched that game start to finish on the telly, worked with Bob over in Perth. Fancy a barbecue tonight, mate? He said, yeah, I'm coming. And there in his cabinet were his balls, his 2 8-for balls.
Yeah.
And he said, you want to hold them? I said, yes, Bob, I do. I actually held those balls in my hands that he took 16 wickets with in his first test match at Lords. And the way he swung, that's sort of the crazy way that this world goes sometimes when you're doing the sort of job that I do. You meet these heroes of yours, and they're mates, and they work, and you get chances like that. So that's the first memory.
Which captain has the tougher job this series, and why?
Which captain are you talking about?
Well, there's three of them at the moment, at least.
There are. I suspect Ben Stokes does, although he will take it the easiest. He'll be the less stressed, I think. I think we know who probably the most likely stressed captain would be. Pat Cummins is a pretty calm fella himself, and I really hope he does get himself fit and can play, because you want the best to be playing. Ben Stokes is a very, very tough, inspirational captain, but he knows he's got a job on, and so I think he'll face the toughest task, because if you start losing here in Australia, there's no escape.
All right, five quick-fire ones here, Aggers. Is there a particular ground in the series or game where do you think Australia or England needs to win?
I'm going Brisbane. Day-nighter, don't quite know what the ball's going to do, don't quite know what the weather's going to be like. If England lose the first game in Perth, they're going to have to win that second one. If Australia go two up in Brisbane, it's over.
That's what Darren Lehman said to me last hour. You only have to win three matches. So we say, it's a five-test series. If all of a sudden it's going your way in the first two or three, the series is done, especially for Australia.
You just get on a roll. And there's no way. We talk about the touring games, warm-up games. There's no way of getting players back into form.
Very quickly, most wickets for the series?
Most wickets, I can go sort of optimistically, but I'm going to go Gus Atkinson. I think he's going to be a surprise. He's a decent bowler. He and Cass are going to get some overs in between them.
Top run scorer?
Oh, not Smithy, surely. Do I have to say Steve Smith? I'll probably have to say Steve Smith. He's a wonderful player. But actually, no, I'm going patriotic. I'm going Joe Root. Never got 100 here. I'll be amazed if he doesn't score at least one in this series.
Buff says he needs three for England to win the series. So,
well, it's a fair shout. And it wouldn't surprise me if he got them. He's a brilliant player now.
You'll be asked this question a million times between now and 13 days' time on that first morning in Perth. If you had to call the series result today, what's your prediction?
Oh, this is harsh. I don't think there's going to be any draws. Unless there's rain in Brisbane. I just don't see it raining. I'm going, you didn't ask me who's in favour. I'm going 3-2, and I'm not going to tell you who to.
So 3-2 Australia or England. Aggers, appreciate your time. This is fantastic. You are flying. You're a keen pilot.
Yeah.
You're flying firstly in Orange with Jim Maxwell, doing these cricket functions, these dinner engagements along the way, which is great, to raise money for Angel Flight. You can search Angel Flight Ashes to see this about Aggers and Jim. And I appreciate your time. We'll hear from you a lot more throughout this summer. We can't wait.
Really looking forward to it, and thanks for having me on.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listener.